Without having thought about it, you're in oneness. There is one. And that one is being. It's being everywhere itself. And it is you. You are one with the one. And the more you are one with the one, the more you will want to be one with the one. Whenever you're weary, whenever you're confused, whenever there's something you search to find an answer to, just go back and be one with the one. That's all there is to it. Be one with the one. Give yourself the luxury of oneness. And you'll discover from the farthermost ends of what is called the earth, the One is ever-present, responding and functioning and being and doing and maintaining the infinite harmony of its own nature. From your shoulders goes every thought and worry and every weight, because all there is the pure, infinite, immaculate One. There is no other. You really are that one. Your mind may try to overcome the sense of body, but it's only the absence of the mind that overcomes the sense of body. When thou prayest, be not as the hypocrites. And when thou fastest, be not as the hypocrites. And when thou givest alms, be not as the hypocrites. What is behind all that? That you pray to your Father in secret. That you accept the presence of God in secret, as your being, your very self. That you fast from all material thought. That you fast from all personal opinions. That you fast from the belief of mortality. That you fast from everything that tempts you into such beliefs. Why would spirit waste a moment talking about material fasting when you read it with your soul, you know? In meditation, you are fasting. In meditation, you are giving alms to the world because you are releasing the light of God. In meditation, you're not standing in front of the world and praying and saying, "Look at me." You're praying in secret. You're accepting. It's the prayer of acceptance of the presence. Thine is. Thy kingdom is. Thy power is. And do you know what the word Amen means? I know you've heard many things about it. It means it is finished. It is done. It is. Amen. And whenever you say Amen hereafter, say it inside your soul, because it means your recognition of the finished, perfect oneness of God without opposite. Amen. It is finished. It is self. It is you. Now, in your daily meditations, usually, if you're having a problem, it's because you don't have something to hang your hat onto. You don't have that peg to begin, so you're just fishing around. Why don't you use the Sermon on the Mount? There are three blessed chapters. There are statements after statements after statements by the Spirit. Each gives you a glorious opportunity to let your soul look at the words, sup with it, sip it, let it infiltrate your consciousness, and then release yourself to the Spirit completely. And you may discover you know all about the adversary and the judge and the prison and the officer just by letting the Spirit do the talking. You have a cosmic adversary. Its name is the world mind, the world serpent. It is your benefactor. It forces you to deal with it. It won't let you go by. You must deal with it. You must deal with it consciously. You cannot just bury your head and say, God will take care of this. You must first know that God has already taken care of the perfect universe, and God will not take care of this. You must see that there is no this to be taken care of. That's what your adversary is telling you every moment. I am not here, but you think I am. I'm your invisible adversary, and I'm going to stick pins into you. I'm going to make a porcupine of you in every possible way I can until you know I'm not here. And when I stop sticking pins into you, it'll be because you have accepted sonship with God. Don't think God will take care of anything. You must face this invisible cosmic adversary and agree with your adversary. You must agree with it. You cannot ignore it, and you cannot fight it. You must agree with it. You must become conscious that it is there 24 hours a day. It is first pushing forth a carpet of time, and it makes you walk on it. Then it pushes forth an activity on that carpet called you, and it makes you think that's your body and you're in it. Then it pushes five senses through you, and it makes you look around and see an external world that isn't there. Then it makes you see these events and try to involve with them. And sometimes it makes you try to resist them or remove them. And the only way you can agree with this adversary is to know that from time on out, all that exists within it is the disguise of the one cosmic adversary. And you can only meet it and agree with it in one way, through the cosmic silence. You can only meet the cosmic adversary with a cosmic silence. Your meditations enable you to do that. When you are in meditation correctly, you are taking no thought. And that's more power than all the resistance in the world. The karmic adversary is powerless when you take no thought. But if there's a you there, you're going to take thought. In order to take no thought, you must be removed. When only God remains, the cosmic adversary is dead. You're in oneness, and there is no cosmic adversary in oneness. There's no second. And the cosmic adversary has done its job. It has forced you into oneness, thereby crucifying itself. But it has made you return to sonship. And because your return usually is only momentary, it renews its warfare against you constantly. And as you know the pattern, and are willing to put forth the conscious awareness that this cosmic adversary is always present and I must meet it with an always present cosmic silence, you find you're building the silence into your activity. Whatever it is, you build a cosmic silence into it. You seem to build a corridor between your mind and your soul. Walk in that corridor and get the feel of it. It's like the place where the pendulum stops swinging to the right and to the left. It's the moment of rest between each swing. It's the corridor of silence between the soul and the mind. When you rest there, there is power. If the pendulum did not stop for its moment of rest, it could not continue the rest of the distance. When you stop in this corridor of silence, you'll find the power. The power is in that silence. That is an infinite corridor between time and eternity, between mind and soul, between matter and spirit, between human thought and divine thought. And in that corridor of silence, you graduate from the need for power into the infinity of God, which requires no power whatsoever. It is the eternal rest. Where oneness is its own power, its own glory, its own kingdom, its own fullness. Amen. What flows now is called daily bread, but it again is the Word. And it is replacing the so-called atoms of the body, the so-called molecules of the body, the so-called materiality of the body. It is replacing the cosmic mind concept of body. Daily. It is becoming spiritual flesh. Your own one substance replaces the imitation substance of the cosmic mind. Every meditation whether you think you're succeeding or failing, is part of the preparation for the moment of the white dove. When it is done in your consciousness, when the second consciousness is dissolved, and all that remains is the one consciousness, the divine, in which nothing exists but divine thought, divine power, divine reality. This is how the child of God is fed in the womb of spirit. For this we leave mother and brother and father and sister, to be fed in the spiritual womb. Every capacity you have is transmuted into a divine capacity. Your capacity for love is quite different. You find hate is very foreign to you. Jealousy cannot enter this consciousness at all. You find acquisitiveness is diminished. You have a feeling of, I already have. I have something more priceless than anything physical in the universe. I have a conscious awareness of the infinity of spirit, and its infinite mansions of reality. There's a feeling of constant change. And now the progression of spiritual awareness shows you the difference between being forsworn and being in a state of constant progression. You can hardly stand still a moment. There's no place to stand. The newness is continuous, exhilarating, and ever bearing with it the signature of God, so that you can recognize this is of God. This is divine. I have found the divine universe right here. And it becomes a visible, tangible, material thing to human sense, but it begins from a source behind the human. A father is a term to designate your source. God is your source, that from which all that is real emanates. And God being your source, all that emanates from that source flows through the quietness of the mind. The source expresses, the Father expresses. His will in you is your perfection, and it expresses that will. Now, every time you pick up the Bible or a phrase that you know is in the Bible and you commit it into your conscious mind for meditation, you are uniting with the Word of God. You are supping at the divine table. This divine feeding is your daily bread. And those words are going to prove to be your sustenance. If you don't want to meditate always with words, you can look at the deeds of Christ Jesus and just take any of the healings and look at them, any one, study it over, commit it into your conscious mind, hold it there. And then let your soul decipher it without conscious human. And you will see that it gives you at that time more daily bread. Contact with God. Through his word, the deeds of the Christ, the parables, all lead you to contact with God within yourself, the comforter within. Wherever you are, contact with God is not only possible at that moment, but necessary. Just as your lung must breathe air, your soul must breathe God. And if you don't let your soul breathe God in and out continuously through constant contact, you eventually lose your conscious awareness of being alive. You must let your soul breathe God. Consciously. And now as we listen, for conscious contact with God, isn't this the beginning of a new sense of hearing? You're really listening for God. Not for the chaos of the world. Do you believe you can hear God? Do you believe you can see God face to face? You know you can't with your human eyes. All of this within this now is taking you out of five kings, five senses, and bringing you into the single eye. The soul. Everything is lifting you into soul vision, soul hearing, soul power. Soul universe. Eternal life through soul. Soul healing. Soul supply. You're not seeking out there in the world, but in your soul. Question then, why do we meditate? Is because our soul must breathe like our lungs. And it is the only place we can find substance so that the word can become flesh. When do we meditate? Whenever you feel like it. No time. And there are times when there's a positive inner tug. It's very wise then to stop whatever you're doing and let that which is tugging you close your eyes. It won't tug you at a time when you can't. It never does. When it says do it, there's a place for you to do it and a time for you to do it, right then. And if you listen for that tug and obey it, suddenly you'll know, my eyes feel very weary. I'm supposed to close them. Or somehow, I just have the feeling right now that the Father is calling. I just have to be one with the Father. Don't let those moments go by. They're spontaneous, but they have a purpose. They are the angels you've been expecting. And you don't know the purpose of them. They are the most important kinds of prayer because they come with an ordination. And how many times you'll discover that you're doing something and had no thought of wanting to meditate or that you should meditate, and something calls it to your attention and you're deaf to that. You didn't know that's what was happening. And you let this blessed moment of God go by. When it was trying to take you out of the world mind at that instant into the soul universe, but you weren't listening. You were deep in the senses or the ego or the vanity or the personal will. Now let's jump ahead, way ahead. All of these are trial runs. They're to heighten your capacity to be in a constant contact with God. And there should be a time, and the time is now, when you can truthfully say, I am always aware of the presence of God, and if I am not aware of it in a moment, whatever happens does not shake my inner knowledge that the presence of God is still here. So that there is a universal backdrop of consciousness that soon develops in you when you know that it doesn't matter what comes at you. It isn't going to remove the presence of God. Because you had enough inner contact to know that this is a permanent dispensation. And the presence of Christ Jesus has actually led you to the presence of something in yourself which we call the Christ, which knows the presence of God. And this must become a permanent fact of your being. Only meditation makes it a permanent fact. It's only the miracles that come out of your meditating that assure you of that presence. There's a passage in John which comes to mind. I had marked it for yesterday, but didn't do it. I don't even know if I can find it. It is 1 John 3, the 14th verse, and if you've heard it before, you may now see it another way. John, speaking to his disciples, says, we know that we have passed from death unto life. Now, isn't that an unusual remark? We have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Now, the loving of the brother, then, is necessary, or you abide in death. What does it mean? The disciples of John have learned to love the brethren, and they have passed from death unto life. we come to the place where we love the brethren? Or do we perhaps just love some of the people in this room and some of the people we left at home? Or were we so immersed in our own personal sense of self that that was the last thing we had in mind? Sometimes it's quite embarrassing to find how little we really do know about the Spirit. And then sometimes it's very encouraging to find that there really is a lot less of me than there was 5 years ago in this human sense of time. If we love the brethren, we must have reached a certain consciousness which John associates with being in life instead of in death. And if we haven't reached that level of consciousness, we are in that which was described by Jesus as let the dead bury the dead. What is that level of loving the brethren? Do you see it's a level where there is no personal you? A personal you cannot love the brethren. There's going to be somebody who offends you. There's going to be somebody who deprives you or withholds something you think you should have. Or there's going to be some condition on earth that irritates you. And that's not loving the brethren. Loving the brethren is recognizing the universal nature of Christ as the only self. Meditation is the only way you can learn to do this. Because I fulfill. I who am the Spirit of God, it is I who fulfills the commands that I have given you. You cannot fulfill them. I fulfill. I think it's here in the Sermon on the Mount that only I can fulfill them. Five, 17, and watch how cleverly this has escaped us because we've been so busy. Think not that I am come to destroy the law. And watch how this is a complete and opposite statement in human sense to I have not come to bring peace but a sword. I have not come to bring peace but a sword. And listen to this, by the same Christ. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. With a sword. To fulfill. Now the sword then is going to cut away material sense, isn't it? And then this I that is going to fulfill is the Christ of you obeying every commandment itself has handed down to the human sense of you. And so it is asking you to move aside. Get rid of that personal sense. When you love the brethren, it will be because you have loved God enough to actually turn away from your mortal self. And only if you have done that in your own sense of mortality are you going to be able to look out and do it for someone else. I don't expect anyone on this earth to love the Christ of me if they haven't found the Christ of themselves. Because that is the Christ of me. When you love yourself, you can love your brethren. But if you don't love yourself, how can you love your brethren? And if you don't know yourself, can you love yourself? If you love your mortal self, you can't love your brethren because you haven't found the meaning of love. To love yourself means to accept I am. And to love your neighbor is to accept I am there. To love your brethren, then, is the universal sense of I am accepted as the invisible self. And in that, says St. John, you pass from death to life. And apparently there were some who could do it. He said, we have passed from death to life. We can say, I think, that we're at least moving in that direction, passing from death to life, and not faint-hearted. Verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no way, no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. It is the law that you be the Son of God, and cosmic mind is going to jab at you until you are. And that jabbing will take the form of many agonies and sufferings unless you're willing to stop being that which is not the Son of God. That's the handwriting on the wall. That's what we're facing. And it can come to you as world events, world conditions, a complete downgrading of the human consciousness. It can come to you in every disguise that you never associate with the cosmic adversary of the world mind. And it's saying to you, you think there's a strike, a famine, a starvation, an overpopulation in these conditions. Get rid of it. Pass from the death, which the world presents to you, into the life by knowing that in the kingdom of God present, you are the living Son of God now. It was the mission of Christ Jesus not to teach us to wait for Christ to return, but I am come. I fulfill. Don't wait for me. Accept me where you are. Don't have a future Christ. Have a present Christ. And don't have duality. Remove the self that isn't Christ. Accept the presence of Christ where you are, and you have passed from death unto life, and now you love the brethren, because everywhere you look, Christ sees Christ. If you're in constant contact with God, you are constantly expressing the qualities of God. You are constantly bringing forth into the visible world those divine qualities which the Father blessed you with as your divine heritage. And then you were given the command to multiply, to increase, which meant to bring forth these qualities, these infinite qualities, to increase them in the world, to let them shine as the light of your being, to multiply the invisible into the visible, to increase the invisible into the visible, to pass from death to life. We are all invited to pass from death to life. When this class is over, I'm going to have a special half hour just for those who want to ask questions about meditation. And so, when we terminate, if you just want to ask a question about meditation, nothing else, stay on and we'll discuss it. We'll just discuss what is troubling you in meditation. You can air it, and if I can, I would like to get you back on the groove of proper meditation. And so that will be a question and answer period for about a half hour after this class, right after the class for a half hour. And so that's so those of you who still feel that whatever we discussed at this moment in meditation is not the full answer for you. Now, I'd like you to learn how to meditate with your eyes open. You should be able to stand in the presence of this world, eyes open, in a state of meditation. It's really the state of resist not evil. And it is based on the acceptance that no one stands before you as they appear. For it has dawned upon you, no doubt, that the Christ is teaching us that nothing in this world is as it appears to be. Nothing. There isn't a blade of grass that is as it appears to be. Everything is seen through the limited vision of the sense mind which God did not create in passing moments of time. And when you are able to look out at it with that knowledge, you will be in a state of meditation with your eyes open. You will be watching the motion picture of time. And you will learn that these pictures moving by as a motion picture to which Adam gave names, to which the human mind gives names, are forms without substance. When you can look at these forms without substance, with your eyes open, you're meditating with your eyes open. Again, while you are looking at forms without substance with your eyes open, what happens is that you have broken the circuit of world mind through sense mind, outpicturing forms, and you are removing belief. But right where those forms without substance are moving in your mind, and you are able to look at them with a detachment, there is a higher knowledge within you of soul which is filling that invisible void with the invisible presence of perfection. Oh yes, that isn't a form out there. My mind, having been detached, I'm in a state of awareness that that's not a form out there, although it seems to be. But my higher awareness is also aware that there is the invisible light of God where that form is. All of this is known at that moment and accepted. And upon this, you act. You are talking to that light, not to that form. You're not reacting to that form. You're sowing to that invisible light. You're meditating with your eyes open. You're sowing to the Spirit with your eyes open. You're acknowledging the invisible present. You're nodding the head. You're bowing. You are acknowledging the invisible presence of the light of God everywhere. You are a light bearer, and your eyes are wide open. The more you practice it with your eyes closed, the more you find the capacity to live it with your eyes open, and then life is a meditation. A constant, continuous contact with God within and without, so that within you are accepting the presence, and out there you are accepting the presence. You've got one harmonious continuum of the presence of light. You are accepting the infinity of God. Eyes open or closed. You're passing from the deadness of material sense into the living spirit, from death to life. And the Father, who seeth in secret, shall reward thee. In the visible comes your consciousness, coming back to greet you in the visible as form, as things, as objects, as loaves and fishes from the sky, as health, as supply, changing all of the relative values of human sense into the permanent invisible substance of the spirit of your own being made manifest all around you as the activity of your own consciousness made flesh. Your consciousness is transmuted into a different visible world than the one you have known. Like the spider, you manufacture life out of your own substance, from the invisible to the visible. And that is why we meditate. And that is why we continue to meditate. And that is why when we open our eyes, we continue the meditation with our eyes open. And when we go to sleep, we meditate in our sleep by turning ourselves over to our own spirit before we go to sleep. And we wake up, we consciously renew the meditation and know that only God is present, only spirit is here. This is the kingdom of God. This is heaven. I am living in it, and that's all that is here. And now I will go forth into heaven, and all I can meet is the spirit of God, no matter what forms may enter through the consciousness of the world. I am walking through the invisible heaven of God. Until it manifests, until the tree of life drops its fruit into the visible, because of the quality of your continuing conscious contact with God. I really don't know if our classes are moving too swiftly for you or if this is fine. I just know that I feel there's a substance building and a preparation so that in you there will be a light, a pilot light, raised up until it's lighting the house, until you know it's there and can trust it and feel the freedom of being. I think perhaps this might be the class. It is. And I'll spend a half hour with those of you who want to ask questions about meditation now. So for those who are ready to do whatever they wish, fine. And those who wish to ask questions about meditation, we'll just have a few minutes interval between for those who want to freshen up or whatever. And in just about 3 minutes, we'll answer questions on meditation.